Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little boy named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed, naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. Thanks for supporting us for the past 100 episodes. Don't forget to subscribe and give us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also support us by visiting our Patreon page, where you can find out how you can join us for our monthly patron webinar, where we do a deeper dive discussion about all things perimenopause.
The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast. Today, Dr. Lisa and I'm doing a solo episode. I'm going to be talking about burnout. It's going to continue on from the episode we re-released last week, episode 225 with Christina Tahoses on burnout. I'm going to talk about how to press the easy button to prevent burnout. A lot of times when we think of self-care, we think about adding things to our list of things to do. And it can be a source of stress out. I've been there. I've had the longest morning routine before Stuart was born that felt like a huge chore to get through, even before my day started. So over the years, I've become strategic with my time, spending it in areas and doing things that I know I'm going to get the most bang for my buck, where I'm going to feel the effects most quickly and efficiently. And it's not about rushing through everything, but it's really listening to what I need in that moment. And it can change through different seasons of our life. I was inspired to add some information from We Can Do Hard Things podcast with Glennon Doyle. She had Dr. Pooja Lashim on, and she talked about self-care, like real self-care. Burnout is not your fault and the way out. So looking at burnout coming from systemic expectations that society puts on us, that we put on ourselves, that we've taken on through seeing what our parents do. So we really want to step back and not, you know, have the solution be, okay, I'm going to prevent getting burnt out if I do 10 minutes of yoga a day and I go out for a walk every day. They used an example during that podcast episode with Glennon Doyle and Dr. Pooja Lashim of how yoga class for some people could be part of the solution. So if they talk to their partner and they say, you know what, I really need Wednesday nights to be for myself. I need to get away from the routine and the chores, and going to the yoga studio is where I want to spend my time. And that person goes and does their Wednesday night yoga class. They focus on their breathing, their stretching. They leave feeling rejuvenated yet restful and like they had some time for themselves. But they contrast this with the person who's like, oh, I know I should do yoga. That's going to help me. Everything's going to change if I do it. And let's say that person goes to the yoga class. They may be comparing themselves to others who are doing, you know, pigeon pose or some of the inverted moves. They might be comparing their clothing, like I'm wearing all the wrong clothing. You know, people are looking at me. Oh, this is so uncomfortable. They may not be enjoying the class. And then they leave the class and they actually feel worse when they did than they did before going to the class. So we really want to think about what is going to serve you. They discuss, you know, having boundaries is really key because if we don't have boundaries, we're going to say yes to everything. And we're going to burn out. But I'm going to talk about ways that I press the easy button. As I've gotten older, I realize things don't have to be so hard. I used to feel like I had to push day in and day out with my workouts, with my work. But after having Stuart, and I've talked about this so many times, I learned that I had to be more efficient and strategic with my time. So I'm going to break down how I press the easy button in three major categories: in efficiency, in grooming, and in the most important one, mindset. I'll save that for last. If you have seen the easy button, this is from a company called Staples that delivers and sells office equipment. They have physical stores. They actually have a button, and I think it says actually easy on it. And I remember when I was working at one of my workplaces, one of the VPs gave it to their boss and said, I'm the easy button. So when you have a problem, press the easy button, I'll figure it out. And that visual has really stuck with me. And I think about that easy button time and time again. And I bring it up with patients. I ask them, how can you press the easy button? So in terms of being more efficient, I joke with Pete that I'm an opportunist. So if we're out doing something like visiting his parents, and let's say we have to stop at Metro to pick up some flowers for his mom, I'll think about, okay, what else do we need that we don't have at home right now? Or is there some place in this mall that has, you know, a Home Depot because we need to get some more yard waste bags? So I really be strategic about where we're going and how I can take care of several errands that I need to while we're there, not just going for the one thing. And that saved us a lot of time and heartache. Even when we're out grocery shopping, I might pop into the Joe Fresh section if we're at Loblaws and look and see, okay, I need a little more workout gear. Okay, let me see what they have. Oh, Stuart needs some new boots or some pants. Okay, let me go see if I can find him some there. So I'm really maximizing my time when I'm out. I really like as well something called hands up, hands down. I heard about this at my friend's baby shower, and this was new to me, but I know my mom does it all the time. And sometimes, to be honest, my sister and I could get frustrated because every time you go upstairs or downstairs, she would say, can you bring this up when you go? Can you bring this down when you go? But now I know as a mom, if she didn't do that, the house would have been a disaster. She would have been going up and down the stairs like 20 times in a row just to get things put away. So now our system is, if I'm going upstairs, I'll look around and see, okay, do I need to bring Stuart's toys back to his room? Do I need to bring, you know, some books up that I've read and go put them back on the bookshelf? So I'll do that. And then if I'm going down, the same thing. Okay, what needs to go down? I don't have empty hands when I'm going up and down the stairs. And I try to get Stuart and Pete on board with this as well. So I really like the hands up, hands down approach. And lastly, in the efficiency category, I like to brainstorm while I go for a walk. So I start out my walk by doing some breathing and mindfulness, looking at the trees, the buds, taking in the sky, taking in the sounds. And when I've had that time to decompress, then I'll use the rest of the walk, some of the times, not every single walk, to brainstorm. So I actually went for a walk this morning and I was brainstorming about what I was going to talk about during this podcast episode. And then I actually email myself through voice dictation all the points that I'm going to cover. So for part of the walk, I might have my phone, I might stop and use voice dictation and get that information out and sent to myself. So when I come home, I can compile it into a document and use it. I find I am more creative when I step away from my desk, I go for a walk, I get away from it all. So that's a category of efficiency. The next category is grooming. And I'm still showering and taking care of myself, but I'll have to say my standards have changed over time. I used to wash my hair every day or every other day. I used to shave my legs every single day. But now since having Stuart, I don't want to spend all my time doing those things. So now I'm like, I don't have to shave my legs every day, especially if it's not summertime. So I've taken that out of my routine. I'm able to get away with washing my hair once or twice a week, depending on when it was last colored. I use a dry natural shampoo, a powder called A Cure. So it helps to keep it looking clean and healthy and vibrant. And I'm wearing my hair curly now, so I allow it to dry naturally, which also saves me a lot of time because I used to think I have to straighten my hair and blow dry it. And that would add a huge amount of time to my routine. And if it was humid outside, if it was summer, forget it. I was fighting a losing battle. So I've embraced my curls. I wash my hair less regularly. I don't shave my legs every single day. And I think, you know, probably not a lot of people shave their legs every day anyway. I've also stopped buying clothes that need ironing. That's a criteria. If it needs ironing, I've bought clothes before that need ironing, and I actually just don't wear them. So those are no longer being purchased. I know Pete has some clothes that he wears when he goes into the workplace that needs to be ironed, but luckily he irons his own clothes. I did teach him when we first moved in together, so he takes care of that himself, which is amazing. Even picking out what I'm going to wear can be exhausting. So I buy similar clothing items in different colors, whether it's leggings, kind of casual pants, sweaters or tops, and then I can mix and match. Of course, I still have unique items when I want to dress up and wear something differently, but this helps to reduce that decision fatigue. So right now I'm into some really comfortable, kind of like not K-way, but kind of workout loose pants from Joe Fresh. I have some nice sweaters and t-shirts that I like to mix and match. So that makes things a whole lot easier. And then if I have a Zoom meeting, I could dress it up with a scarf, a necklace, or I'll just change my top for that time that I am on Zoom. And then I have workout clothes and I don't wash them every day or every time or after every time I work out. And maybe some people do, but I try to stretch the period of washing clothes. If I could wear them twice before washing them, great. Of course, it depends on, you know, if I'm sweating, if it's summer, but not feeling like I have to wash everything right after wearing it. You can do that sniff test and see if you could get away for one more day before washing them. And now to the last category, the most important, how to press the easy button when it comes to your mindset. And actually, it's not always an easy button, but it's a shift. It's something we're working on, right? It's something we can see from a different perspective. And a big one is I used to suffer from FOMO. I remember my friend told me about this term when I was in naturopathic college, fear of missing out, FOMO. Now everybody knows what it is. Back then, hardly anybody did. And that was totally me. I needed to go to all the parties, all the events. When it was TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival, I had to get tickets for that. I had to go to all the concerts. And I enjoyed a lot of those activities, but now I know I can't do all those things. And I have what's called JOMO, the joy of missing out. I'm appreciating slowing down more. I still like to go out occasionally, but I don't have to go to all the things all the time. I really prioritize and be strategic. And sometimes I just need to stay home and read a book. Sometimes I just need to watch a movie or a cheesy reality TV show or go for that long walk. I really am learning to savor where I am and be in the moment and not think about what I potentially am missing out on. And having a kid really helps with that because a lot of times we're forced to be present and we're enjoying the moment, seeing things through the eyes of a kid. So that's been a huge one, going along with the slow revolution. So slowing down, right? Reading instead of watching TV, not having to do things fast, taking short meditation breaks in the day. I know if I actually slow down, I am more productive because I make less mistakes. I used to rush. I used to feel that panic of all the things I had to do in a day. I would rush through a lot of the things and a lot of things I probably didn't even need to do, but I felt like I had to do them because that's what I'd always done. So we can be strategic about our tasks and where we're spending our time. So then we can really slow down and we can do things properly. I've talked about this before. So pressing the easy button when it comes to holidays, birthdays, having visitors, having friends, family over, reframing the expectations I put on myself of how these events and activities should look like. I used to think the house had to be perfectly clean. We had to make everything from scratch. We had to have, you know, the playlist of the songs. Now we're more go with the flow. It could be a potluck. The house might not be totally clean and that's okay. It's acceptable. Maybe, you know, the upstairs is a little bit, you know, could use a bit of vacuuming, but the main floor is what we've focused on in terms of cleaning. But remembering what those events and activities are for, it's actually to connect and have fun. Some people really enjoy cleaning and cooking and all of those things. And sometimes I do, but a lot of the times I feel like I have to do those things. So reframing those expectations, pressing the easy button, having everybody bring a dish. Maybe you're meeting in a park to have a picnic instead of having people to your house if you're feeling like it's too overwhelming to organize and clean the house. Just framing and creating and curating that activity that's really going to leave you feeling energized and fulfilled as opposed to drained and regretful that it was so hard. And, you know, did you really enjoy yourself or was it just, did it feel like work, work, work? A big one, and this isn't really an easy button, but it's an easy button to make the decision to work on letting go of perfectionism and then take steps to let go of it can make a huge difference, right? Friday nights, I used to clean the house before we had a cleaner at that time. And then I felt like I could relax. Well, I've learned how to relax, even when there's some mess around. You can choose what is relaxing to you or not. I still, you know, I did a 3-hour cleaning session on Saturday, getting rid of a lot of Stuart's toys and organizing different things. And that felt really good. I really wanted to do that. But most of the time, on Friday nights, I just want to put my feet up. I want to connect with Pete and Stuart, play some board games, or go to one of my dance classes. I grew up in the era, as a lot of us did, where the expectations around email were intense, right? You get an email, you have to respond to it, you have to have the solution, you have to deal with it. Well, I'm learning to pause. I choose when I check my emails. I choose when I answer the phone, allowing some space before responding. So sometimes if we respond right away, it becomes this whole other project. If you wait a little bit, you might find a better solution, or the person who emailed you might find another solution. Same with answering the phone. If you answer it right away, there may be these demands placed on you and you feel like you need to respond in that moment. But if you let them leave a message, you get a sense of what it's about. You can pause and then wait to respond. They talk about this in the We Can Do Hard Things episode with Glennon Doyle. This has been a game changer for me. I'm not allowing emails and voicemail messages dictate how my day is going to go. I'm going to start my day, see the patient, do what I need to do, and then fit that in when it works for me. I also, as I mentioned, I don't overschedule and I don't have to say yes to every opportunity that presents itself. In the We Can Do Hard Things episode, Glennon shares a story that Brené Brown shared with her that involves mom guilt and feeling like we have to do all the things. So Brené Brown was away for a week or so with, I guess, a book tour or a speaking tour, and she missed some of her kids' activities. And she came back, and that evening, her son actually had an event or activity at school or with his sports team that she felt like she should go to. But she was really burnt out from all the traveling and speaking and giving to other people. So she was wrestling with this, like, oh, I've been away. I've already missed a bunch of things. If I don't go, oh my gosh, she's going to be so upset. But she said, you know what? I can't do it. So she told her son, she said, I'm really, really sorry, but I've been traveling and I'm totally exhausted. I can't go tonight, but I'll go to your next event. And he accepted that. And she was like, okay, well, I guess that's okay. But a few days later, he came back to her and he said, you know what, Mom, I really don't want to go to the thing I have tonight because I'm feeling really burnt out. I feel like everything I'm asked to do, I say yes to. And I didn't really know that I had a choice. I thought I had to just keep going to my friends' parties and going to all the events that the school has. But when you said you couldn't come to my event, it made me realize I had a choice. So it's pretty amazing that that example shows you us mirroring what we need, not overscheduling, you know, we still might feel a little bit guilty, but doing what we need to do in the moment will then allow our kids to do the same thing. Even if we express our overwhelm through crying, through talking about it, it's going to open up the gate for them to be able to do that as well. They really do mirror our actions, our words, and our behaviors. So we can teach them through example. Another key thing to do to press the easy button is to accept help when you're given it. So many of us say, no, that's okay. I don't need you to drop off a meal, or, oh, you don't have to look after the kids today. That's okay. If we can just accept that gift, that's pressing the easy button, and that's going to give us that space and time to recharge. And it's not always presented, you know, we're not always presented with help, but can we accept the help? Can we accept the compliment and embody it? That is really key as well. I've also let a lot of my time go on social media. And I know as a business, it's really, I'll put in quotes, important. It can be very beneficial to be online and be present online and be an authority and share the information that you know and help others and get your name out there. But when I'm online, I find myself feeling worse afterwards than I did before. I'm finding it not fulfilling. I don't feel authentically connected to others. So I'm using now more the podcast, my monthly newsletter that I send to those on my email list, to really use my voice and share my knowledge and my experience and my approach. But I'm taking a little bit of a break from social media. I may use it to announce different podcast releases or maybe some events that are coming up, but I'm really limiting my time and not going online, not scrolling. If I am, it might be a minute or two here or there, but really being intentional about why I'm going online. I might go online to see what dance classes the Pink Studio has coming up, which special classes. I might go online to see what Unbounded has for community events for cold plunging. So I'm being strategic and connecting with friends more through calling and getting together with them if I want to hear how they're doing. So I hope these recommendations gave you some pearls to start to incorporate and start to things you can do to press the easy button. Where are you spending your time? Is it fulfilling you? What can you get help with? What can you change in your routine and your expectations that you put on yourself? So now I'll move to the next part of the podcast. I'm going to share my super mom moment. So on the idea of pressing the easy button, I've been getting overwhelmed with my inbox. It's definitely not inbox zero. So I have a Gmail account and an Outlook account. So I spent some time last week unsubscribing, deleting old emails, and it felt so good. I heard I'm doing a digital wellness training course, and they talk about digital laundry. We think about doing like laundry every week, washing our clothes or every few days. But do we clean up our social media accounts, get rid of old text messages, photos, emails, unsubscribe? So I like the idea of thinking of it like laundry, doing a little bit here and there, because it can be pretty daunting to think about cleaning out the whole inbox. It would take probably a whole day. But thinking about it like you would doing laundry. So that's my super mom moment. I'm in the process of cleaning up my inbox, unsubscribing, deleting old files, even on my computer. And it feels really good. My mama messed up. So one of my vices is chewing gum. And I used to get the pure gum, the gum that has xylitol. But to be honest, I do not like the texture at all. So if Stuart and I go into the dollar store, sometimes I'll buy a Juicy Fruit or an Excel. I think it's like the pink bubble, like the white gum, like the white bubble gum flavor. I forget what it's exactly called, but I'll pick up some of that gum. And when I have it, I really try to just have it occasionally. Or if I'm in the car going on a long drive, but sometimes I can overdo it because The taste is so good. And I feel like I used to be a smoker. Not a lot of people know this, but in high school, I have this like oral fixation. So I feel like that comes back when I have gum. I just want to keep chewing. I want to have something in my mouth. So right now I have a bit of a sore jaw because I chewed way too much gum over the weekend. So I know I just need to not buy it. And I know how harmful the ingredients are and all of those things. So I just can't buy the gum, or I'm going to tell Pete to hide it when I buy it and then only let me have it at certain times. So whoops. And then my mama must have, with the warmer weather, I love having a refreshing non-alcoholic drink. So I have several favorite brands. I really like the Thirsty Buddha. So they have low sugar options of cola, of they have root beer, lots of different flavors that you actually get some prebiotic in there and fiber. And it's so delicious. I love it. Zevia soda is really great too. It's sweetened with stevia and they have all the usual flavors. If I'm going to a party, I like to bring the Barbette coolers. They have really interesting flavors that mix. Like there's like one that's a little bit of a like spicy orange. They have like a cucumber mint. There's so many unique blends and flavors, and it's lower sugar as well. And then I even like mixing some of the BioSteel powder in a glass of water with some ice, and that's really refreshing. So those are my mama must-have non-alcoholic drinks to enjoy on a patio. What else is happening? You can join Dr. Tony online to learn more about self-hypnosis to support your health and hormones. Click in our show notes and use the code MAMA2024 for a special deal. So thank you everybody for listening today. You can email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. You can also support us by visiting our Patreon page. Please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everybody, and press the easy button. Until next time, bye.